Good morning to you. Some of y'all are still asleep. We'll be in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll try to finish up this chapter here and finish up 2 Timothy before we move on to Titus. We're still in the pastoral epistles. Dr. Weaver started this last week, and if you'll recall, look at your outline, says there are three main points that we're looking at today: the responsibilities of the preacher, the readiness of a faithful servant, and the request of Paul and a review about different men. And Dr. Weaver started off and he first talked about the first point there, the imminent return of Christ and judgment. And here God has spoken to Paul, and then Paul is speaking to Timothy. And then Timothy is supposed to carry on. That's what he's telling Timothy here. This is what you're supposed to do now. I'm about to depart. You're going to take up the mantle, and you're going to take my place here. But as we look at this, you know, sometimes we need to insert ourselves in the scripture. And I think, to me, this is a good point to kind of have a reality check. Sometimes when we're witnessing to people trying to give the gospel, and we'll use a familiar verse like John 3:16, and we might say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And then as we go on through presenting the scripture, we might ask the person that we're speaking to place their name, like whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. If Jay will call upon the name of the Lord, he'll be saved. And I think in a situation like this where Paul is speaking to Timothy, he's also speaking to us. So I'd ask you this morning, as you look at this, we'll read that first verse again in just a minute, but put your name in there instead of Timothy's. Let's look at Scripture as if and for sure God is speaking to us at the same time. Everything he's telling Timothy here is pertinent to us today. We should move on. This is what we should be doing. It's a good point to check. Say, Lord, where am I? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And he gave Timothy several specific points that he wanted him to do. He wanted him to preach the word, fulfill his ministry, and then he wanted him to have the faith to keep going. That's what we should be looking at in our lives today. Where do we stand? Where do I stand? Let's look back at chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And as he's speaking to Timothy right here, he wants to let him know what comes next. He wants to encourage him. He says, okay, it's time. He's going to speak. God's going to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. And I like that phrase there, that last little phrase, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Many scholars say that those are two different situations. At his appearing would be the rapture. There'll be judgment. And then after Jesus comes to set up his kingdom, there'll be another judgment for those who have saved throughout the tribulation period. So he's speaking to Timothy right here, and he said, you've got to be constant. You've got to be faithful in what you preach and what you teach, the doctrine. Don't vary from it. And then he talked about in B, the importance of preaching, proclaiming the word. And he tells us, Timothy says, you've got to be ready at any time to preach. We need to be ready at any time to give the gospel. You say, Brother Jay, I'm not a preacher. Well, in a sense, we're all preachers because we preach by the way we live, by the way we walk, by the way we talk. Our testimony preaches. So in a way, we are a preacher. And that's what he's talking about there. It's important to be ready to preach, to rebuke, reprove, and exhort. Then he talks about some identifiable characteristics of a future response. And he talks about, like that third verse, people are not going to be willing to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. That's kind of where we are today. They want to hear what pleases them. That's why it's so important to go to a Bible preaching and teaching church. We're blessed here. We've talked about it many times. We know we're going to hear the word preached. It's not going to be about the scripture. It's going to be the scripture. Then he moves on and he says, there's some requirements, Timothy, for you to have an effective ministry. And he gives him several things there, and he tells him, just don't be half-hearted. Give your all. You know, sometimes I look at my life as I ask the Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit to look at me and tell me what he sees and if I'm on track, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And realizing in our world today, we are different. If you're a Christian, you profess to be a child of God, then we should be different in all aspects of our lives. And sometimes I have to step back and say, oh, you know, that comment that I made probably wasn't the proper way to say that. Maybe my tone wasn't exactly right. Or maybe my attitude at the time wasn't good. I love the old phrase, attitudes are contagious. Is yours worth catching? That's something we need to ask ourselves quite a bit as Christians. How do I come across to other people? How's my testimony with those that I work with my family? We all know that family is probably the hardest group to witness to. When I got saved, my family just took a hard look at me and said, we'll see. Because they knew a lot about me. And they knew where I'd been, and my life was not where it should be. So we need to be careful about our attitude. He's telling Timothy right here, be careful about everything. There are evil people out there who want to see us fall. One of the first things that I realized that when I got saved, that my friends weren't exactly my friends. And I had to back up, change my friends, change where I went to, change the things that I did, because they weren't the things that would be pleasing to God. And then he talks about the recognition there in the second point, the readiness of a faithful servant. He said, there's some things that I've recognized. He's talking about the manner of his death. He says, I'm now ready to be offered. And he says, the time of my departure is at hand. So Paul has come to the realization that his time on earth is almost over. His ministry is almost over. And he's looking back. He's going to take a look back here. And B, he's talking about satisfaction. He says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Back in earlier teachings, as Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, he came up with something that he said, no matter what state I'm in, no matter what's going on around me, what the circumstances are, I've learned to be content. That's a great way that we need to look at it. You know, that be there is satisfaction. Paul has satisfaction in that he's looking back and he says, hey, I'm thankful for how I've lived my life. I've done my best. Now I'm ready for the next step. As we live our lives, there's a difference between being content and being satisfied. I've been in situations where they weren't good, weren't bad. I remember I was in the bus ministry for almost 50 years, and numerous times I would go to the Lord and I'd say, Lord, I've been in here X number of years. Don't you think it's time for me to move on? And the Holy Spirit let me know every time, no, not until I'm ready, not until God's ready. So I had to be content where I was in the situation. We're not always in the greatest of situations, things that happen to us in our lives. But we can be content in knowing that God's in control. Now, today, even today, I'm not satisfied where I am with the Lord. There's still things I have to work on. There's still things that the Holy Spirit points out to me, Jay, you need to be a little better at dealing with people. Sometimes my wife tells me, not sometimes, quite often, sometimes I'm too transparent. And that coming from somebody who, if you don't want to know, don't ask when it's with her, because she'll lie, give it to you. But I have to be careful, because sometimes I don't respond properly. So there's a lot I'm still working on. I'm not satisfied, but I am content where God has me. But Paul was in a situation where he says, I'm satisfied. I've done all I can do. I've run my race, and I've been faithful. Being faithful is one of the toughest things to do. Paul never strayed from the Word of God or the doctrines, the truth that's in God's Word. He never did. That's an awesome thing to be able to say. And so he said, I've fought the fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. And then he says there in C, he says, now this is my expectation. This is what I expect is coming. And he feels like he's going to get a crown of righteousness. And the Bible tells us that the crown of righteousness is given to all those who love his appearing. Are you ready for the Lord? Are you looking for his appearing? As we look at our world today, if you read the news or listen to the news a little bit, that should bring to our mind, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We need to be looking for his appearing. We need to pray for his appearing to come soon. And that's what Paul says. He said, my expectation now is he's going to give me a crown because of the way I've lived my life. All of us would want to hear the word, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are we on track for that? Jay, am I on track for that? What is it that a stumbling block to me? Is there anything I need to clean up in my life? Everyone in here, except for maybe two or three people, maybe Jennifer and several other people, we're all in the same boat. We're all coming to a closure not too far away. The Bible says, what does the Bible say in Psalm 90:10? The years of man's life are what? 70 and maybe a little extra there. So we're all kind of knocking on the door. It won't be long. So it's not too late, though, to clean up our lives if there's something in it that the Lord doesn't like. It's not too late to do whatever it takes to hear that phrase from the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so Paul had expectations. What kind of expectation does Jay have? What kind of expectation do you have when you stand before the Lord? These are questions we need to ask. A lot of times we don't want to. We've got a lot more days behind us than we do ahead of us. I mean, look at old Ron there. He can't even take a little cold, little fever and all. So we all deal with things. Paul says, I'm ready. And that's basically where Dr. Weaver left off. Now, we're going to pick up in Roman numeral 3, our third point. The request of Paul, he makes a request here of Timothy, and then a review about different men. Let's look back at verse 9. Chapter 4, verse 9, and read just a few verses here. This is Paul's request to Timothy. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. And then he goes on to list a few other people there. So he's telling Timothy, Timothy, I need you to come see me. And he's telling him in an urgent manner. He's saying, okay, that he knows that his time is short. Not sure Timothy did, but he's saying, this is urgent. I need you to come see me. And there's some things I want you to do. He wants you to come shortly, and he says, take Mark and bring him with you. Remember, he and Mark didn't get along at one point, and he would not let Mark go with him on one of his missionary journeys. But he's saying here that Mark is profitable to me in a ministry, which tells us that surely they had reconciled in some way and at some point in time. It's a great lesson for us right there. You know, we need to make sure that all our relationships, as we have our interaction with other people, that they're resolved if we have a problem. What does the Bible tell us? It said, sometimes the stronger must go to the weaker. You know, it's pretty easy to say, oh, this guy offended me. I don't have anything to do with him. Sometimes we need to make the first step to resolve any conflict we have, any relationships that we have, whether it be family or friends or workers or whatever. Sometimes that's not easy to do, is it? Not easy at all. But he's saying, by telling us that he wants to bring Mark and he's profitable to him, I'm sure that he wants to use Mark in what little time he's left to be a blessing to those around him and to continue his work, even though he's in prison. So he says, bring Mark. Bring with thee the cloak that I left at Troas. That's talking about something physical there. He needs some warmth. And according to all records and things that I've ever read about where Paul was in prison, it was a cold, damp, dark place. And we need to remember that he has no freedom to go in and out at this point. And so he needs something for his physical health. And then the books, the parchments. Think about this. If you were in prison and you were maybe in stocks or you were shackled to a guard or something like that all day long. We don't know all the details and everything. That make for a very long day. And he's saying, bring me the scripture. Bring me the parchment. Something for his mind to occupy his mind. We take for granted a situation like that because hopefully none of us have been or will be. On Friday nights, we talk to people who have been incarcerated for a number of years sometimes, and they can't wait to get back to where they have the freedoms to do things. And so we need to, as we carve out time for God in our daily lives, whether it be for scripture reading, for prayer, whatever it is, we need to be cognizant of the fact that that's a blessing, and we need to take advantage of it. You know, sometimes I cut short. You ever cut short your prayer life because of something? When you're in your prayer closet and something happens, and you know, maybe you get an urgent phone call or you got to do something. Sometimes our old flesh wants us to take shortcuts, not spend as much time in the scripture, not spend as much time in prayer. And it's so easily to deviate a little bit, isn't it? We need to be careful that we don't fall into the trap of doing that all the time. That's how people get away from reading the Bible. It's like when people don't come to church. They get out of church a little bit, something happens, they get out of church. It's so hard for them to come back that first time. Sometimes it's embarrassment. You know, I should be there. I know I should be there. And then they put it off and put it off and put it off. And all of a sudden, they're not in church anymore. We can do that with our prayer. We can do that with our scripture time. We need to be very careful not to do that. And so Paul is trying to get some things that will help him fill his day. And he wants the scripture and the parchment. And then he tells him, salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Those people that have been close to him, those that he's helped, those that have helped him. Do thy diligence to come before winter. To me, that'd be like saying, okay, I don't need the cloak real quick, but it's getting close to winter. I'd like to have that thing now, so bring it to me now. So he tells him, bring it before winter, Then as he comes to a review about different men, we're going to see, he's going to point out some people here, review about them, what they've meant in his lifetime and how he's interacted with them. And he starts off and he talks about Demas, and he told us in scripture there that Demas had forsaken him. He took off. He says, he forsook me, loved this present world, departed to Thessalonica. Then Crescens departed to Galatia. Titus departed to Dalmatia. Now, the note there says those might not be necessarily negative reasons that they went there. Possibly Paul sent some of them there, or possibly that's where their ministry was. He says, Luke is with me. Dr. Luke was always with him. Titus, Tychicus, sent by Paul to Ephesus. Scholars and Bible theologians believe that now Tychicus is the pastor at Ephesus. Then he talks about Alexander. Look back at verse 14 in your scripture there. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. So Alexander the coppersmith opposed Paul in his preaching and his teaching and caused him problems in a couple of locations there. You know, we need to be careful about people. He's telling Timothy here, listen, he's given me fits. He's always caused me problems. He's still around. So beware. Be wary of him. Don't have anything to do with him. Be cautious in those that you befriend and those that you are around. That's a great message for us today. As I've told you before, I'm sure in our recovery program, we tell people who are getting out of prison and confinement, one of the things you probably need to do is take an assessment of your friends, who they are, who they were. And sometimes you need to get away from them. If they're the reason that's caused you to fall into an addiction, you certainly need to get away from them. That's not easy for people to do sometimes. They come from towns where they grow up. These people have been their friends and acquaintances, relatives for years. Sometimes they even have to leave their relatives because they're the cause of their problem. That's what he's telling Alexander here. When you find someone that causes you problems, they're negative or they hurt your testimony or your ministry, get away from them. It's a perfect, perfect example for us today. People come in, we think they're friends, and first thing you know, they're not our friends, and we realize it. We need to remove ourselves from that situation. It's very important. It's important for our testimony, because if someone is a problem as a Christian, our testimony should be that we don't fellowship with them. Sometimes that's hard, especially with family, but it needs to be done. I have a good friend who's gotten saved, and he's the only one in his family who's saved. And they're all negative about him coming to Worth Baptist Church. They tell him quite often, you don't need to be going to that church. So what does he do? He has to love his family, separate himself when it comes to doctrine and Bible scripture, but yet he still has to love them. He has to be a witness to them, but he needs to be very careful that they don't influence him. What is it? One bad apple? We can be the whole bunch. Okay, so we need to be careful. So he's telling Timothy here, stay away from Alexander. He's not profitable for your ministry. And then he talks about Erastus, is it Corinth, Trophimus. Paul left him at Miletum sick. And then he, in point 10 down there, he says, the greeters to Timothy. Those are sending greetings to those that they know, faithful followers. And then the last part in point C, the report of his own circumstance. So Paul's going to summarize his life right here. And he says, the parting of the brethren, all men forsook me. Look back at verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. We believe that Paul's talking about the first time he was going to court for himself and then eventually in prison the first time, that people deserted him. One of the things I found out as a union president with the telephone company was that everybody wants you to be the leader. Everybody wants you to do something. And everybody has a complaint. They want you to voice those complaints. They want you to stand with them. But then when it's time to stand, you look around and there is nobody else. You're standing by yourself. And that's what happened to Paul right there. Nobody stood up for him. And he was standing there alone. And he said, they forsook me. And then he says the prayer, pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Wow, what a lesson to learn there. Forgiveness despite betrayal. Have you ever been in that situation? You're the good guy, and then all of a sudden you've been betrayed. And Paul, that's what he said. I was standing alone. There wasn't anybody to stick up for me. But you know what? He said, I'm going to forgive them. Forgiveness is something that we need to keep in the forefront of our mind as Christians. Little things or big things, no matter what. He says, no matter what, the presence and the power of the Lord. Look back at verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles may hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He said, through every situation, every circumstance, the trials, the prisons, the beatings, the stonings, every situation, God has been with me. God is with us through everything that happens in our lives. I love the illustration that one pastor used to give about Christians having fellowship with the Lord, and then all of a sudden something happened, and the Lord is there, right there, but as a Christian, we begin to move to the left or to the right, stray away from our fellowship with the Lord. And then as we realize, as the Holy Spirit convicts us in our mind and in our heart, we decide to turn back to the Lord. And when we turn back to the Lord, we find him exactly where he was, just like this. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. Doesn't matter how many times we mess up, he is so long-suffering and loving. What an awesome God we serve. And that's what Paul's saying. He never forsook me in no situation. But in every situation, he strengthened me. He doesn't leave us when the storm starts and takes back up with us when the storm's over. He walks through the storm with us. And that's what he's saying right there. He strengthened me. Strength through the storm. That's what we need. That's what we have if we claim it. If we persevere in our relationship with the Lord. He says, the power of the Lord, I had it when I was preaching to the Gentiles, and he delivered me from the mouth of the lion. We could use that. He delivered him in every situation that he was in. You know, he was stoned and left for dead, but God never left him. And he delivered him in every situation. He delivered him, and he will deliver us in whatever situation, whether it's present or future. That's a great thing about serving the Lord. He not only is always with us and never will leave us or forsake us, we can look to the future and know that he's there. Whatever might befall us, what situation, what circumstance in life, he's going to be there. I'm telling you, we have an awesome God. So this is Paul's last correspondence. And then in the last few verses, let's pick back up with verse 19. This is his final greetings. He says, salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Do thy diligence to come before Wither. Eubulus greeteth thee, and he gives the greetings. And then he says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be unto you. God's grace is sufficient. Paul's taught us that. And as Paul ends his life, he ends it on a victorious note. I often think as I'm praying, I ask the Lord, Lord, why don't you just give me a little glimpse of how it's going to turn out for me? What's in the future? What it's going to be like when I stand before you? We don't need to be in fear of that time when we'll stand before the Lord as long as we keep our eyes focused on him. You know, as we look at our future, we know exactly what we're supposed to be doing. He's telling Timothy, this is what you need to expect. This is what you need to do. Preach. Be diligent. Be faithful. That's what we need to do. Preach, be diligent, and be faithful. I would hope, in my prayer is, that I would stay close enough to the Lord, and my prayer for all of us is that we would stay close enough to the Lord that we would be able to hear him utter those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul did it. Say, I'm not Paul. No, I'm not. But I do know that God takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things with them. All we have to do is be available and be willing to be used to God. And we can look forward to the future and the end of our time and the judgment with the Lord. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Paul. We thank you for the divine inspiration that you gave him, that he gave to Timothy, and that we can take as being given to us. Help us, Lord, to live for you, to put you first, to do our best to become more like you every single day. Thank you that you've given us a guidebook. You've given us the instructions. You've given us the power. Help us, Lord, to be willing to be everything you want us to be. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you give to us. We pray you bless now in the service to come, the preaching of your word, realizing that there's something that you will give us that we can apply to our lives and be stronger and better Christians for you. We thank you, Lord. We love you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.